The following is the audio version of a video released at peakprosperity.com. Visit peakprosperity.com to watch the video and to find other insightful content such as articles, discussion forums, and exclusive subscriber-only content.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this Signal Hour, where we find the signal amongst all the noise. And boy, it's been a noisy week. We have a lot to talk about today, and it's going to be a packed show. Again, we're probably going to have to run just a tiny bit long because we have to talk about this whole crazy drive back to war. It's got all the same flavors that we had back, if you're old enough like I am, to remember the Iraq War. Oh no, weapons of mass destruction. It's an urgent thing. We can't ask questions now. We'll bomb now and ask questions later. We have to. You don't understand. Existential threat. We're going through another one of those right now. Surprise, coincidentally, the Ukraine war has sort of been given up as a lost function. So we have a new hot one. And we have to talk about Trump's promises. Where are we on the Trump agenda with all that big mandate? And then finally, what's not being talked about here as we go through all of this? And maybe if we get there, Evie.
Maybe. Good afternoon, everybody. Good to be here with you.
Maybe. We'll take a cheap shot at Jacinda Ardern, who deserves every cheap shot.
Yeah, let's do it. Sounds great.
Okay, so let's get started here right now. This is our agenda for today. This is where we start right here. Israel strikes Iran. Of course, unless you've been under a rock, you know all about this. Mm-hmm. So this is what happened right here on June 6th. Easy for me to say. June 6th. Okay, it's the 18th today. So what are we, 6 days into this, 12 days into this, right?
Right.
So no, this wasn't going to be quick and painless. It was clear Iran had a point of view, which was, hey, we'll just start bombing these things. First, Trump said he didn't know about it. Then he said he did know about it. Marco Rubio said we didn't. Then we did.
Right.
We were in on it. We were helping. We weren't helping. It turned out we were in on it, I guess, if you go with the latest thing. But this is an astonishing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it meant we were in active negotiations.
Right.
And
just
decided
up to this,
to just bomb and kill a lot of people the night before those negotiations were supposed to actually start. So if any of you have seen Game of Thrones, you'll understand the Red Wedding reference, right? Where the Stark family is invited in. They're going to get married. They're going to get these two warring families finally to agree to stuff. They invite the whole other family in.
Right.
Yay. We don't have a union. We're safe.
And the wine is flowing. Everybody's enjoying each other. And then
the knives come out and they killed everybody. So this to me is the Red Wedding approach to negotiating, such as it is. And here you can see some things on this map. They did a lot of strikes there. They
hit.
So those red dots are people, scientists that they specifically targeted.
Isn't that illegal?
Yes.
In the Nuremberg, the treaties that came out of that?
You would think, but you know, they said, the existential threat is so great. What we have to do is we have to stop their nuclear capabilities. You would think you would bomb the nuclear sites. Some of those actually got bombed. Those are the yellow dots on there around Natanz. Here, let me get this.
When you say nuclear abilities, you're not talking about their ability to make a bomb. You're talking about
that's what they're saying.
That is what they're saying.
Okay. Well, ostensibly, that's the story. As we're going to find out as we go through this today, I'm going to make the case that's not what this was.
It's not like an energy center.
No,
where they're producing electricity.
They wanted, so Iran wanted to have nuclear for a variety of reasons. One, research medicine is one branch. And the second would be for power. It makes imminent sense. Everybody should use nuclear for power.
Right.
It's the best thing ever.
Yep.
And we'll all figure that out again at some point. And then they took out a whole bunch of military targets, and nuclear, but here's the thing, Evie, here's what they did. So, here's who they killed, at a minimum.
Wow.
As a first strike. So major generals, they took out the major generals. These are the top military commanders.
Chief of staff of Iran's armed forces.
Yep.
I'm not even going to try to say most of these names. Tenraki, senior physicist and nuclear scientists, another top nuclear scientist specializing in chemical engineering, nuclear scientist, blah, blah, blah. Wow, there are a lot.
All right. And look, a flight attendant, a painter, they killed at least 78 people that we know about.
31 deaths on the first day.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. So they say, look, it was an existential threat. We had to do it. What if tonight China said, hey, the UK with Bill Gates has decided that they're going to try and dim the sun? We consider that to be an existential threat to humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's what we're going to do. We wake up the next morning and London has been bombed comprehensively, right? And climate scientists have just been targeted specifically in their homes and killed, along with any rocket scientists or anybody who could put stuff up there. We would go, wow, not how you do this. Could you talk to us first?
Right, right.
You don't just start by killing people, because I don't know who needs to hear this, but when you kill somebody, you tend to turn them into an enemy, not into somebody who's open to negotiations after
that's
that.
That's true. Right? That's true. You totally close that door.
Well, you do. And it's just, yeah.
For generations.
Unless you're completely tone deaf to speaking what we call human, right? Mm-hmm. You understand that when you kill people, you make them into enemies, their survivors into enemies, not into compliant subjects, just how it is. So,
yeah.
At any rate, you know.
Okay.
See this? Yeah. This is it in Natanz. So this is the nuclear facilities. Here they are dropping bunker buster bombs. People are dropping, like, boom. Like, here we go. Wow.
And shall we read this, what it says on the side here?
Sure. It
says, Israel struck Iran's Natanz nuclear facility with bunker busters supplied by the United States. Imagine radiation levels levels rise, causing cancer and birth defects. This is what the West and Israel does.
Yep.
They have no right to tell anyone they can't have nukes.
To be clear, only one country has used nukes in an offensive capability. That's mm-hmm. the United States, right? Israel is not a signatory on the non-proliferation treaty. They have anywhere from an estimate of 400 to 400 nukes, probably on the high end of that. So they already have them. They're just saying, we don't want anybody around us to have them unless they already have them. Like Pakistan. What are you going to do about Pakistan? They're an Islamist state.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a lot of nukes. So nobody says anything. North Korea already has nukes. We're like, ah, what are you going to do? Right?
Yeah.
But if you're on the way to getting them, they're like, no, no, no. That's when it becomes totally unacceptable. We have to demonize you and say that you're, you know, of all the people in the world, you can't be trusted with these things because you're just cray cray. All right. So at any rate, this is a very long, old, complicated story, but this is so China. China's senior spokesperson.
We strongly condemned Israeli's attack on Iran. This is a violation of the Iran's sovereignty and territorial integrity. And we are particularly concerned that they are attacking nuclear facilities, which is another red line that Israel has crossed.
Another red line. Another red line.
I'd have
that
to agree with him.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's another red line. Not one, another. And it's a red line. So China's already involved in this too. They've been sending cargo planes over. We don't know what's on them.
Oh,
but
yeah.
They have an interest in what's unfolding here as well. But from
backing
a larger
Iran.
Look, can we just back up? So the larger diplomatic story here is that Trump came in and said, you have 60 days to come to the table. Like, look, we've been negotiating with Iran for decades around their nuclear ambitions, right?
Yeah, all most of my lifetime.
He says, I'll give you 60 days, right? But he didn't say, I'll give you 60 days or we're going to start killing you in your homes and bombing you as much as possible. So, but this is not how you do negotiations. This is not diplomacy.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
Plus, they thought they were coming the next day to meetings. So what do you mean you didn't come
to the table? It's such a bait and
switch. It's not that you didn't come to the table. So you didn't come to the table fast enough.
Right.
They were already at the table.
That's bad faith right there.
Very bad faith.
That's not.
Sets
Israel is not agreement capable either. I think the U.S. has shown itself to be that.
Not agreement capable, meaning you're just going to do whatever you're going to do. And of course, Putin has accused the U.S. of and the West generally, and he has good reason to.
Yeah.
But so,
we go back on our word. And that's what Israel just did.
Yep. All the time. Okay. So let's just go through now the FAFO. I hope everybody understands what that means. But this is what it looks like when they're inbound. Did you see all that? Look. This is what it's like in Tel Aviv. At this point. That was an interception. But you see those little lines coming up? There's some rising. Oh, yeah. No, I guess, well, we lost her. All right. So, A, there's lots and lots coming in. And Iran has...
we got here.
Don.
You're a liar. Israel has not targeted civilians. The people were given warning and time to leave Tehran.
They targeted Don. Don, stop. J- just stop. You're being a moron here. They targeted scientists. Those are civilians. These are people. They have jobs. They have families. They have dogs and cats. They get up in the morning. They go to work, Dawn. So stop with the lies. Just we're the whole world, Dawn. You need to hear this. We're all sick of the lies. Okay. If you're targeting civilians, you're targeting civilians. And that's what happened. So just own up to it. Don't try and pretend like I can't believe my own lying eyes. All right. Get out of here with that. All right. So carrying on. And by the way, Iran now has a lot of what are called both supersonic and hypersonic missiles. Okay. Those are things traveling faster than sound. Hypersonic being another layer beyond supersonic, traveling past a certain level of Mach. Mach 1 being the speed of sound, Mach 2 being twice that, on up to Mach 10, 12, 13, 14, even 15 now. But this is what it looks like when... Oh, there it is. Did you see that?
Holy crap, that was fast.
Let's try that again.
It's like a shooting star.
I mean, they just come in so fast. I mean, like... Right. And one of the ways you can detect that that's supersonic, at least faster than the speed of sound, is you can't hear it coming because it's traveling faster than the sound.
Right. 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 Yeah.
So you can't hear it. It sounds like, why isn't that thing not, why is it not making noise? Well, that's because we're not used to things traveling supersonic.
That's right. True.
Planes, you hear the sound before they get to you because they're usually traveling less than.
It's like a bullet. It has a similar thing.
Yep. Boom. Right.
Like shooting a gun.
But this is, so this was just from last night. So Iran, you know, part of the cope we've been seeing out in the Twitter sphere is that Iran is just going to run out of missiles. They're going to run out of launchers. They're completely degraded. They're almost out of everything. But this, that's the kind of trail you see right there when Elon Musk is launching something into outer space. This is a big missile. When you see that kind of a contrail on the back of that thing. And you see it's lit up. So this thing is now, even though it's the night sky, that's because it's already above the curvature of the Earth and it's receiving sunlight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's why it's lit up like that. So this is a big missile. This is a big giant, can carry a whopping payload. You know, this is an exo-atmospheric missile.
Wow.
So they dragging some of those out. That's just last night. We don't know what the damage is.
Yeah, where did that go?
Well, we don't know because Israel a couple days ago completely forbid anybody taking pictures and getting them out. Israel's locking the story down, and we all know why you lock a story down is because it's not the story you want to have told.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not a good sign when you lock down the narrative and say you can't talk about any of the damage. Now, interestingly, we had it the first night when Iran fired back, we got those first images of those fast missiles coming in, all the little starry lights coming in. We've seen fewer of those since. Maybe Iran's firing fewer. Maybe we're just not getting the pictures out. Hard to say. But we only saw pictures of the aftermath if something struck a residential house or apartment building, right? And again, there could be a couple things that happen there. Could be a missile that hits that was specifically trying to target somebody's house. Doubtful. More likely it was a missile that missed its target. Even more likely it's an errant defense missile that got shot up that came back down again, because we saw that over and over in the Ukraine war. Ukraine tried to say, oh, look, Russia is targeting these apartment complexes, which makes no military sense. And in fact, when we did dig into those, more often than not, we found those were struck by errant missiles. You know, it's hard work, right? You're shooting missiles at missiles coming in and they miss and then they come down again. It's like when you shoot a gun, right, Evie?
Yeah.
You have to be aware that the bullet goes up and comes down, right?
right.
You got to be aware of the downrange.
Yeah.
Aspects of this whole thing.
All right.
So we don't know what the damage is at this point. And we know Iran has been specifically targeting military bases. I've seen exactly zero pictures so far, zero videos of that. So we have to believe either Iran's hit some and been effective, or it's completely missed entirely. And Israel's decided just not to show us that and crow about it. So I know where I fall on what's most likely in that particular story. As well, Israelis are now completely blocked from leaving.
They closed the borders.
Mm-hmm.
They said, we will not allow Israelis to travel abroad in the near future, according to the Israeli transport minister, Miri Regev.
Regev. Well, yeah, you know, I mean, it makes sense. Like, it's a small country. People serve in the reserves or the military.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they're just saying, hey, we might need all hands on deck here. So you can't leave.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
A little awkward, though, because when Bibi decided to launch all the attacks against Iran, apparently he jetted out of there.
He left.
Yeah, he went to Cyprus for the night. Safer that way. He's important, you understand.
Oh, yeah.
He's important.
We should at all costs protect him. Yes.
All right. So that's what's going on. Now I think Trump, this strikes me as just a little unhinged here.
Okay.
Evie, because the unconditional surrender, this isn't very diplomatic, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Unconditional surrender to Israel? I mean, yeah.
Unconditional surrender to who? That's a good question, actually. To whom?
I mean, how does he have a right to ask for their unconditional surrender?
Well, an unconditional surrender is something you ask when an adversary has been so hopelessly defeated, they have zero other options left. Unconditional means I have no conditions.
Right.
No conditions like, hey, you're not going to, can you just stop dropping bombs on us? Like no conditions, like with no conditions, when you surrender, the other side might say, okay, well, we're just going to keep bombing you, but you can't do anything because you've surrendered.
Right.
So a condition might be, okay, we both lay our arms down.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. Unconditional surrender is not something you call for 6 days into the war. It's just diplomatically, this is retarded.
Is that what he really meant by it? Or is he just flinging words around?
Well,
okay, let's find out. Unconditional surrender. And Trump, when did he tweet this? Yesterday?
I can't remember when. Okay. Yeah, a couple days ago, I think now.
We know exactly where the so-called, quote, supreme leader is hiding. He is an easy target, but is safe there. We are not going to take him out or kill, at least not for now. But we don't want missiles shot at civilians or American soldiers. Our patience is wearing thin. Thank you for attention to this matter. Who is that addressed to?
Well, so this gets more dire because remember a little while ago in Ukraine, right? NATO, United States have been providing all kinds of targeting information, plus the missile systems, plus the guidance, telemetry data, all of that, right? Probably plus the strike target packages, which is like hit here, here, and here.
Right.
Here's why. Wink. You know, So we've been doing all of that, but it was a little while ago, right before Putin took the gloves off, Ukraine sent 40 plus drones exactly where Putin's helicopter was at that point in time in Kursk. So this was a targeted attempt to take Putin out. Now, normally in these things, I'm not saying we should have rules that say leaders are more important than the people, but normally trying to target a leader is not something we've done in the past, but now the gloves are off.
Well, we've done that as the U.S.
Well, just we have, but
the CIA's done that.
But you don't do that against an armed nuclear superpower, right?
Right.
If they did it to us, we would just go off our rockers,
yeah,
right? Absolutely off our rockers with anger, right? So I don't understand why they don't understand both sides of the story. Like, if you speak human, when you say to somebody, hey, I'm going to kill you, the first thing I do, if you tell me I'm coming out, I'm just going to kill you unless you do everything I want, unconditional surrender.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, let's tangle it up. Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to double down personally, but that's how I'm built. But that's how people are built. It just is. All right. So anyway, this just struck me as like ridiculously tone deaf and unacceptable and not actually what you should be calling for at this stage.
Right. So
like they jumped the shark, the right to, we're just going to bomb you. Right before a you know, these meetings,
right,
we're going to kill a bunch of your people, a lot of your top people, and then we're going to immediately demand that you unconditionally surrender, or we're going to keep killing all of you.
Right.
It's such red wedding.
Where
we are, diplomacy is completely broken down.
Well, that's what I want to ask you about.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you about, it seems like they're doing diplomacy in public with social media, but I don't know what to believe. Like Trump saying that, who is he saying that to? When he puts out a tweet like that, is that count as his actual legitimate communication with Iran? Like,
I think to him it does.
Like
tweeting on Truth Social.
Yeah, no, it's weird to me.
Diplomacy. And you know how it is, like when you have a really sensitive conversation to carry on with somebody, you typically, you don't do it by email or text because nuance gets lost.
That's right.
Like these are people involved. These are complicated issues. This is life and death. This is, and by the way, it's also saying, hey, Iran, we don't think you have any cards in this story to play. No cards.
Right.
Like, they sit right off like the Strait of Hormuz. 25% of the world's daily oil passes through that choke point.
And we don't need oil.
We got solar and
wind.
If the Strait of Hormuz gets closed down, folks, I'm telling my subscribers and the run, do not walk. Buy everything you can because it is over at that point in time. Oil spikes, our super debt cycle comes to a crashing, halting end. Our complicated economy starts to break down. And that's when probably a lot of old grievances sort of bubble up and people say, you know, we don't really want to do a lot of trading with y'all anymore while you while you go crazy over there, turning boys into girls, girls into boys, and basically operating like a death cult.
Injecting yourselves with poison.
Yeah, the jabs, all of that stuff. Like, it's just, it's gross. It's gross, 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 gross. All right. So, so here we go. So this just came up today, this morning on Sky News. So let's listen in.
Questions about whether you are moving closer, or you believe the U.S. is moving closer to striking Iranian nuclear facilities. Where's your mindset on that?
I can't say that, right? You don't seriously think I'm going to answer that question. Will you strike the Iranian nuclear component? And what time exactly, sir? Sir, would you strike it? Would you please inform us so we can be there and watch? I mean, you don't know that I'm going to even do it. You don't know. I may do it. I may not do it. I mean, nobody knows what I'm going to do. I can tell you this, that Iran's got a lot of trouble and they want to negotiate. And I said, why didn't you negotiate with me before all this death and destruction? Why didn't you negotiate? I said to the people, why didn't you negotiate with me 2 weeks ago? You could have done fine. You would have had a country.
So there's something really wrong with the story. We're not getting to the bottom of it.
You think so?
No, not yet. There's something really wrong with this story. And it's about Israel's power over the DC war machinery apparatus and leadership. We have to talk about that a little bit.
Right.
So, I mean, this is crazy, right? So just from top to bottom, and this all just came out today, right?
Okay. This is hot off the press. German Chancellor Merz, quote, Israel is doing the dirty work for all of us, end quote. This is a full German endorsement of Israel's war of aggression in violation of Article 56 of the additional protocol to the Geneva Conventions, which prohibits targeted strikes against nuclear facilities.
Okay, I don't know who needs to hear this, but striking nuclear facilities is not a good idea. I'm not like, how did we jump that shark? Like, oh, well, they've just normalized it. Like, oh, you know what you do when you're concerned that somebody's doing something? You blow up their nuclear facilities. You just bomb them. What a terrible precedent has just been set. What a terrible precedent. And Germany's down for that particular malarkey. I mean,
they like blowing things up. They like Nord Stream getting blown up.
Yeah.
They like all sorts of.
Well, that's sort of a self-punishing. Germans, y'all got a problem on your hands. And you're going to have to wrestle it back from the likes of MERS, the ultimate beta male, and other people.
It's frustrating, though, because this isn't about like the everyday people in that country. Just like this isn't. Nobody's asking us whether we want to be involved in this, right, in the U.S.
No,
like,
we'll get to that, too, in just a second.
Okay.
This is crazy how insane this is. But go ahead and finish up the middle and the bottom there.
Breaking Germany's MERS. If Iran returns to negotiating table, there would be no need for further military intervention. So apparently there's a come to Jesus being asked to
be had. Oh, yeah, they
just
come to the negotiating table. No need. George, look what
George
says.
They were at the fucking negotiating table when this started. What is the point of even saying this? Anyone moved by this bullshit lacks the capacity to remember things that happened more than a day ago.
Exactly.
And I think he's right.
Exactly. They were at the negotiating. Oh, if they just come back to the negotiating table, we'll stop killing them. We promise. But here's the thing. We're not agreement capable at this point in time. So this is the issue. It's like, why would they come back to the negotiating table? They were at the negotiating table and we killed them in their senior leadership. We're like, oh, no, this time. Totally, this will
be different. Trust me, bro.
The wedding will go off without a hitch this time. Literally, it's that. That's insane.
I know.
This is so broken, right?
It's really bad.
It's really broken. So you can't analyze this through any sort of like, oh, we had to do it because it was an emergency. Now, I'm old enough. I remember this whole story. You remember? There were weapons of mass destruction. They were in Iraq, who had nothing at all to do with 9/11. But somehow the United States had a document that they'd prepared even before 9/11 in 2001 that they said we wanted to go into 7 countries in 5 years. And Iraq was on there. And of course, Iraq is on there. So then after post 9/11, things seemed more possible. So we just went into Iraq anyway because they had weapons of mass destruction. Colin Powell with his little vial of fake white anthrax. We had mobile weapons labs. Look,
Coke.
Here they are. CNN on there. Probably is Coke. And they were like, oh, we have mobile weapons labs. They're moving them around. That's why we can't find them. And it was all lies. It was all bullshit, 100%. Yeah. But it was an emergency. We had to do it right now. We'll ask questions later.
Yeah, it's all the neocons.
And we ended up killing 1 million Iraqis. And remember, they were supposed to greet us in the streets as liberators with flowers at our feet. And none of that happened. You know why? Turns out people don't like getting bombed.
They don't like losing mothers and brothers and daughters. And
it's the same lies. We are getting the same lies all over again. But you want to see like the ultimate Evie and just how retarded this is right now.
Sure.
For that, we have to turn to Ted Cruz.
How many people live in Iran, by the way? I don't know the population at all. No, I don't know the population. You don't know the population of the country you seek to topple? How many people live in Iran?
92 million.
Okay. Yeah.
How could you not know that?
I don't sit around memorizing population tables.
Well, it's kind of relevant because you're calling for the overthrow of the government.
Why is it relevant whether it's 90 million or 80 million or 100 million? Why is that relevant?
Because if you don't know anything about the country.
I didn't say I don't know anything about
the country. Okay, what's the ethnic mix of Iran?
They are Persians and predominantly Shia. Okay,
you don't know anything about Iran. So,
I am not the Tucker Carlson expert on Iran.
You're a senator who's calling for the overthrow of the government. You don't know anything about the country.
No, you don't know anything about the country. You're the one who claims they're not trying to murder Donald Trump.
I'm not saying that.
Who can't figure out if it was a good idea to kill General Soleimani, and you said it was bad.
You don't believe they're trying to murder Trump.
Yes, I do.
Because you're not calling for military strikes against them in retaliation. And if you really believe that.
We're carrying out military strikes today.
You said Israel was.
Right, with our help.
What just happened?
Israel is leading them, but we're
Tucker got him all like
all his how many people panties in a twist.
Yep.
Turn around, by the way.
Oh shoot.
I don't know.
It went back to the beginning.
It goes back to the beginning.
At all?
I have no controls on it.
That's weird.
Hold up. Maybe it just lost the thread and I will just come back to it and maybe I can.
How many people live in
my controls? Where are my controls?
I don't know the population.
Well, whatever.
At all?
We're going to listen to it.
I don't know the population.
This is astonishing.
You don't know the population of the country you seek to topple?
How many people live in Iran?
92 million.
Okay. Yeah.
How could you not know that?
Exchange.
It is.
I don't sit around memorizing population tables.
Well, it's kind of relevant because you're calling for the overthrow of the government.
Why is it relevant whether it's 90 million or 80 million or 100 million? Why is that relevant?
Because if you don't know anything about the country.
I didn't say I don't know anything about
the country. What's the ethnic mix of Iran?
He's got them.
They are
now.
Persians and predominantly Shia. Okay.
You don't know anything about Iran. So,
I am not the Tucker Carlson expert on Iran.
You're a senator who's calling for the overthrow of the government.
You're the one who
claims anything about the country.
No, you don't know anything about the country. You're the one who claims they're not trying to murder Donald Trump.
I'm not saying that.
Who can't figure out if it was a good idea to kill General Soleimani, and you said it was bad.
You don't believe they're trying to murder Trump.
Yes, I do.
Because you're not calling for military strikes against them in retaliation. And if you really believe that.
We're carrying out military strikes today.
You said Israel was.
Right, with our help. Israel is leading them, but we're supporting them.
Well, you're breaking news here because the U.S. government last night denied, the National Security Council spokesman Alex Pfeiffer denied on behalf of Trump that we were acting on Israel's behalf in any offensive capacity.
No, we're not bombing them. Israel's bombing them.
You just said we were.
We are supporting
this is
Israel.
High stakes. Is you're a senator. If you're saying the United States government is at war with Iran right now, people are listening.
Okay.
People are listening.
And I wish I knew how that went from there on
but
out.
That's what journalism actually sounds like.
It does.
He hit him hard, asked questions. He was prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's actual. Most people will be confused. Like, what did I just hear? That's what we used to hear back in the day.
Yes. And this is why people used to trust mainstream media, because they were doing pieces like that were evocative and they were having discussions. And it wasn't these stupid softball questions where everybody already knew the answer and they were just trying to give golf claps when they got it. Like,
yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
So,
I love Tucker Carlson. He's become a favorite person of mine.
By the way, even Jon Stewart is sort of on point.
Is he?
No.
But what happened with Iran? Weren't we about to make a nuclear deal? Wasn't our deal maker in chief making a deal to keep Iran from enriching uranium? Actually, didn't we have a deal before our deal maker in chief so wisely pulled us from that deal?
Yes.
Why did this have to go bomby on Iran now?
And by next spring, at most, by next summer, at current enrichment rates, they will have finished the medium enrichment and move on to the final stage.
Huh. Iran is months away from having a nuclear bomb, says Netanyahu, in 2012. did we have to bomb Iran now?
Iran is so dangerous. Weeks away from having the fissile material for an entire arsenal of nuclear bombs.
Holy shit, that's why. Iran's only weeks away from having an entire arsenal of nuclear bombs, says Netanyahu. In 2015. 2015. Think about that. Back when we all thought, oh no, the Republicans might nominate that madman Jeb Bush. Oh. Should have gone with the question mark. No, seriously, I'm not being facetious. I really want to know why we had to bomb Iran now.
Mm-hmm. We're going to show you Iran's secret nuclear files. Here's the warhead.
Right.
Here's the bomb.
And that's from 2018.
Really?
If Iran is any closer to having a bomb, but it is clear Israel now has the capacity to enrich their drawings. Hot war between Israel and Iran could threaten the United States. It's best we stay out of it.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio saying Israel took unilateral action against Iran and that the U.S. is not involved in strikes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We're not involved. That's good. That's good.
The U.S. says it was informed beforehand.
What?
Good neighbor policy. I mean, we were informed. They let us know. Still not being involved, really.
President Trump acknowledged yesterday that he was aware of the Israeli operation, and he gave it a green light.
It's still Israel's game.
Israel used American equipment during its initial strikes against Iran.
What the fuck are we doing? All right, so we knew. And we approved. And we gave them all the shit to do it.
What?
Sometimes you need the comedy humor to sort of break through.
Yeah.
But this is very serious. Like Trump is not driving this show. The United States decision-making apparatus is not driving this show.
Okay, and what's driving this show, you think?
I don't know, but remember now, Trump was elected with this huge mandate, right? And a lot of people voted for things, but among the key platform planks that I can remember being very attractive to me was the fact that he didn't want to get us into any more wars, right? But almost immediately, we were bombing Yemen and tangling it up, and now this thing with Iran. So this whole idea, you're going to be treated to a lot of propaganda. Some of it's coming out of Israel itself. It's sort of Mossad propaganda that says, oh, you know, Iran has no control of its skies. We're bombing them at will. And they're running out of rockets and rocket launchers. And, you know, this is costing them a lot more than it's costing us. You'll hear that, right? On the other side, you won't actually be allowed to see how much damage Iran is causing. But I will tell you, their missiles, there was a big miscalculation here. If it turns out Israel has to fight this all on its own, right? And the whole idea was that Israel wasn't going to do that. They were going to do a couple things, drag in Daddy Warbucks, the United States, and have us finish the job. And so that's the tail wagging the dog, unless you understand how politics actually works in this country. And then you realize that's sort of modus operandi. And there's a lot of, you know, tangled up interests in this story, right? The military industrial complex. Watch what happens. A lot of people are going to die. When the dust finally settles, and maybe it's radioactive dust, right? Surprise! A whole lot of people got very rich who lived in Bethesda and who own, you know, defense stocks like Raytheon and Lockheed Martin and all of that other stuff. That's just how this game is. It's been my whole life. I voted for Trump because I didn't want more of the same. I actually voted for him, not for any particular policy, but particularly as a wrecking ball to come in and to start to dismantle that machinery. That's why I voted. That's what I was looking for. I was just looking for disrupting status quo, business as usual.
Right.
Because business as usual makes my country poor, makes my everything stupid expensive to live in this country with almost nothing to show for it, right?
That's
really
right.
Bad infrastructure, crumbling bridges. Mm-hmm. We've got terrible healthcare. We have the worst health outcomes of any nation. Like, it's just like the whole thing. I just wanted that to change.
No, I know. Because meanwhile, permanent Washington walks away with millions in their pocket after serving,
Some of them are congressmen and women.
Exactly.
And senators and all of that.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. So
absolutely.
That's what I was hoping for. I'm losing that plot line, but you want to hear it spelled out, Evie, in gross detail.
I know you're well aware of Iran's influence on, you know, groups, terrorist organizations like Hamas and Hezbollah. In an interview, though, last month, you said this when asked about how to treat Gaza.
In World War II, we did not negotiate a surrender with the Nazis. We did not negotiate a surrender with the Japanese. We nuked the Japanese twice in order to get unconditional surrender. That needs to be the same here. There is something deeply, deeply wrong with this culture, and it needs to be defeated.
Did you really mean to say that the U.S. should use nuclear weapons against a people because there's something wrong with their culture?
Of course not. What I was saying is we didn't negotiate with evil in World War II. We defeated the Germans. We defeated the Japanese using any means that were necessary. And the same needs to be done in Gaza. Nuking Gaza would be a terrible idea. The fallout would drift into Israel. It would kill the hostages. The point that I was making was
you're not worried about it killing, for example, women and children in Gaza who, you know, the innocents.
I think war is a messy thing. And I think that.
That's all I can listen to this guy.
Oh, God. Who is he?
Nuking Gaza would be a terrible idea because some of the fallout would drift over Israel and that would hurt Israel. What about the women and children? Oh, you know, war is a messy thing. This is a disgusting, absolute trash heap of a human
being. He's a nasty human.
Representative Randy Fine is a disgusting human being. Full stop. That's all I have to say about this guy.
I could see him. Sometimes I picture people in their underwear.
This is not normal. This is not normal. Him. They're trying to normalize it.
Oh, I know they are.
Oh, you know, maybe we should just nuke. And you heard him say unconditional surrender. That's how you get unconditional surrenders, by nuking. So you can feel the thread that they're trying to build here. This is what's happening, people. You got to pay attention to this. They're saying it's normal to kill women and children. It's normal to target civilians. It's normal to blow up nuclear facilities in another country because they weren't negotiating fast enough for your particular flavor of negotiating speed. And it's okay to use nukes if you really disagree with the people, because they're not humans. They've been dehumanized. These aren't actual other humans, but they are actual other humans.
They're cattle.
All humans are the same, right? We have families. We love each other. We hate each other. We go to work. We live the arcs of our lives. You go to Tehran and it's a beautiful city. They've got the most incredible mosques there with the most incredible artwork. They're very cosmopolitan people, and they're just people.
Right.
So this is the dehumanizing thing that has to happen.
Right.
And Representative Randy Fine is on there, not necessarily to make the case, but to cram open the Overton window to say it's OK now to discuss just let's nuke Gaza. Why not? It's faster and cheaper, more efficient. We've been flattening it with conventional weapons, but why not? Well, you know, some of that fallout would drift into Israel, might kill the hostages. That's his concern. This is disgusting.
Yeah, that's
full
gross.
Stop.
That's really gross.
There is no other way to talk about this.
Mm-mm.
It's morally reprehensible. You're... But how about this? Mike Huckabee, who is the ambassador, former, you remember he was, what was he, the governor? Or was he a senator? I can't remember who this guy was. Anyway, he's the ambassador. He's over in Israel right now. And he tweeted or texted.
Yeah, looks like a text, huh?
This to the president.
Mr. President, God spared you in Butler, Pennsylvania, to be the most consequential president in a century, maybe ever. The decisions on your shoulders I would not want to be made by anyone else. You have many voices speaking to you, sir, but there is only one that matters, his voice. I am your appointed servant in this land and am available for you, but I do not try to get in your presence often because I trust your instincts. No president in my lifetime has been in a position like yours, not since Truman in 45. I don't reach out to persuade you, only to encourage you, only to encourage you. I believe you will hear from heaven, and that voice is far more important than mine or anyone else's. You sent me to Israel to be your eyes, ears, and voice, and to make sure our flag flies above our embassy. My job is to be the last one to leave. I will not abandon this post. Our flag will not come down. You did not seek this moment. This moment sought you. It is my honor to serve you. Mike Huckabee.
So not since 1945, is it clear? Not that was Truman was the president in 1945 who used nukes.
Oh, right.
Right. You didn't pick Truman in 44 or Truman in 43.
Right.
Or Lincoln in 65. You know,
oh, crap.
He chose Truman in 45. So you can feel they're working all the angles. Now, Mike Huckabee, I believe, has some of that good old fashioned evangelical Christian sect, the splinter sect of evangelicals who believe that if we can really mess stuff up in the Middle East, Jesus Christ will come back. And I happen to think they're nuts. I happen to believe that, having read through the entirety of the Bible as much as I can, that I never found the place where Jesus said, hey, go ahead and kill a lot of people so I can come back. I think if they're praying to a God who calls upon them to kill women and children and nuke people, they're praying to the wrong God.
Yeah, they are.
They're not praying. Evil. They're not praying to the God in the New Testament. That's for sure. Absolutely not. 100%. No. So
that's scary.
But they believe this. They actually believe this. This is religious wars are the worst, by the way. It's where things go really, really pear-shaped very, very quickly.
It's true.
So I'm not happy with this, but I just put these dots together because we have that going on, right? We want to talk about failed humans, though. We have to talk about this failed human. So Evie, read Jedediah first. This is a mother. This is a mother expressing a normal mother sentiment, saying...
She's saying, hey, Israel, I'm not interested in a war with Iran. I'm also not sending my kid to fight in it. The end.
And the Zionist, John Poteritz, says...
No one asked you, you piece of shit.
There you go. And I'm pretty sure this guy isn't going to be doing any fighting or dying. But he's going to call this mother out for being a piece of shit, because she's not willing to send her children to go and die for something he wants to get. Mm-hmm. That is the very definition of psychopathic, disgusting, immoral behavior. Full stop.
Mm-hmm.
That's who that guy is.
Right.
Right there.
He will sacrifice other people.
He's
for
willing to sacrifice
what
other
he wants.
People. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Just for fun, this came out. The Senate GOP, Senate Republicans.
Seriously?
Yeah. They said, oh, look at this.
83% of Republicans support Israel's strikes against Iran. Mm-hmm. Only 10% oppose. No
now,
way.
This is really, really weird. You can see at the bottom, they got 2 million views down there.
Yeah.
It came out on yesterday, June 17th. Today's the 18th. So what's interesting is that, you know, Charlie Kirk, it very much is on the mega conservative Christian Republican side of things, very much.
Sure.
And so he ran a poll, and I think he legitimately was surprised. He changed his tune afterwards. But look how the poll turned out. 489,266 votes.
Wow. 90% of people actually said, no, we don't want to get involved in Israel's war against Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And only 10% said yes, which is exactly opposite to that, pretty much.
Right.
Wow.
So next thing is, you see down on the bottom down there?
Mm-hmm.
It says Gray House poll. So I'm like, who's that?
Yeah, who is that?
Thank God for Twitter. Somebody dug it up for us. turns out, says here, a Gray House is polling some newly created GOP shill firm seeking to manufacture consent for Israel's wars. Their X account is 2 months old, and it's run by one man, Landon Wall, seen here on LinkedIn using a post praising Palantir and Alex Karp. Alex Karp is like the worst of the worst. He is also a trash human being. So the Senate GOP is running bogus polls to try and support their bogus positioning, which told them to have this position. I mean, no, this is really not good, folks, because the truth of the matter is that the vast bulk of people don't want this in America. We don't want this. Listen, you know, we have other problems on our hands, right? Like,
we do.
A lot of things
Tons
we can attend to
problems.
Here. Lots of things we could do besides spending blood and treasure on something. But this is gross.
It is gross. And you know what I see here is I see people just like with people that were owning pharma stock or whatever, they're not able to see clearly because of where their investments lie. I don't know about Republicans and why they would ever say this or what their where their money's tied up and why they would want to invest in something like this. I don't see how they have anything to gain, honestly, unless they're, you know, there's something they're not disclosing. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. War is awful. I don't know why we would want to go back there.
But speaking of which, you know, all wars are started with deception, right? We just didn't. The Lusitania. Oh, no, they ran into the time. Germany sank this boat of innocent people. It totally didn't have U.S. munitions on it headed to Europe, which Germany told us not to do. And of course, now we know it was totally full of munitions. Mm-hmm. The Gulf of Tonkin incident in Vietnam was complete BS because people don't want to go to war. Mm-hmm. Sort of hearkening to that idea, our favorite Rector is here. Hey, Rector.
Hey.
I'm saying.
Just like prior to World War II, that's why FDR allowed the Japanese to attack Pearl Harbor. It will happen again if Trump doesn't go in.
So it's a big problem, Evie, is that we're all worried about another false flag because we don't want this. Like the polls are very clear, right? This is what we see.
Yep.
90% are like, heck no. And, you know, I would say it's probably 70% heck no and another 20% F no, right? Stronger even.
Yeah, probably.
Right. So, but this is true and people don't want the war. And so that's why they do come up with false flags and we have to be careful and we have to watch out for that. And of course, that's a very old and storied tradition.
Do you think they're going to do that?
I do.
Create a false flag?
I do.
Get us all wound up.
Well, here was the actual plan. So India Today is reporting this here, right? And this is from January 10th, 2025. So it's in India Today. Mm-hmm. And they were outraged, it turns out, because Israel has a greater Israel map. And it sparked massive outrage in the Arab world. And so they're talking about it here. The greater Israel map includes significant portions of modern-day Jordan, Lebanon, and Syria. What's been happening in Lebanon and Syria? By the way, Jordan, I know you're very U.S. aligned right now. Trust me, you're next on the chopping block. You should figure that out relatively soon. And you can see here, Bibi standing up in front of the UN saying the curse and the blessing, the curse. Here's this axis of evil. But it turns out, mysteriously, a lot of that country in black is just stuff that Israel wants, you know?
Exactly.
And so here, this was the map that got put out here.
A diplomatic uproar has erupted across the Arab world following the release of a controversial map by Israel's Ministry of Foreign Affairs. The map, published on its Arabic language social media account, depicts what it claims to be the ancient kingdom of Israel. This depiction includes significant portions of modern-day Jordan, Lebanon, and Syria, sparking widespread condemnation from Arab nations who view it as an affront to their sovereignty.
So we have to consider this as a possibility. Israel said, look, we're not comfortable with the land we have. We want more. And some of it belongs to other people, which is never a popular sort of a move. And so we have to consider the possibility that it's not really about Iran having atomic weapons. It's actually about Israel not wanting any opposition to anything, right? It doesn't work if somebody can oppose this. So Thomas Massie, I think, is our hope here. Once again, he's speaking truth.
Thomas Massie for the win. This is not our war, but if it were, Congress must decide such matters according to our Constitution. I'm introducing a bipartisan war powers resolution tomorrow to prohibit our involvement. I invite all members of Congress to co-sponsor this resolution.
There you go. Look at that. 15.8 million views, 188,000 hearts. Right? 26,000 retweets. I was one of them, right?
Yeah.
Actually, I did retweet it. But what's interesting here now, Ro Khanna, a Democrat.
Good.
So bipartisan support? Could Thomas actually get bipartisan support?
That would be amazing.
Yep.
Ro Khanna says, no war in Iran. It's time for every member to go on record. Are you with the neocons who led us into Iraq, or do you stand with the American people?
Oh, are you a neocon or an American? That's the decision you have to make right now. Are you for America or are you not for America? That's it.
And he goes on to say, I'm proud to co-lead this bipartisan war powers resolution with Representative Massie that is privileged and must receive a vote.
And of course, libertarians like Dave Smith, also the redheaded libertarian down there saying, oh, thank you. Thank you. Right. So this is important. It's really, really true at this stage that that the Americans don't want this war. That makes this very dangerous right now. Either we just do it anyway. That destroys the Trump presidency right there on the spot. He's going to fracture the so-called MAGA base. There'll be people who are like Trump, you know, I trust him in all things. And I get that. There's going to be a huge number of people who are going to say, no, did not sign up for that. Now, if you understand my position, it's not just that I think war is bad and I was totally against every war that's come out so far because I see them as being destructive to my country. They don't serve my needs, my ends. They don't serve me. Plus, they kill people. They're immoral. They're unethical. And by the way, they're illogical. Because if you take a look around, just drive some time and look at the bridges, look at the state of our infrastructure in this country. It's a disaster. We need to spend money on ourselves. So that's my sort of provincial sort of thing. But second of all, strategically, I speak human. I know that there's two ways you can get things from people, with vinegar and with honey, right? The United States has been pursuing this MIC, bomb everybody into submission, big club. If you don't give us exactly what we want, we'll kick and scream and then bomb you. And that's one way to do things. But the other way is to work with people and find the win win.
Mm-hmm. Like, right? China does.
Like China
with its
does.
Diplomacy.
Right. Yeah. China does that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a better thing. So this is me caring about my Jewish friends who care a lot about Israel, which is mm-hmm. to say this current policy of Bibi's and the Zionists and all that stuff is they're just going to bomb everybody into submission. How does that tell us how that goes for another 100 years or 1,000 years? Just paint that out for me, because A, you're going to be outbred. There's going to be more of them than you.
Right.
And either you get locked into a perpetual where you have to constantly always be on top of the situation, bombing right. them into submission.
A violent cycle.
Mm-hmm. Or eventually you lose it. The other way is to actually find ways to get along with the people who right. live around you. So my position is Israel can be however it wants to be. That's its own arc of history. Mm-hmm. I could give it some strategic advice, which is like, dude, this ends badly. Just think it through.
Mm-hmm.
But even if they don't take it, my point would be, well, then you be you. If Ukraine can't figure out how to get along with its neighbors, it's going to have some problems. Anybody who can't figure out how to get along with their neighbors ends up with problems.
That's true.
That's yep. just it. Not right. my problem, though. Not my monkey.
Not your monkey, and definitely not your problem, and not the American people's problem.
Yep.
Right? That's what you're saying. And yep. for some reason, our lawmakers have a tendency to think about what Israel needs before they think about their own country. And that's what I'm curious about.
Yep.
How do we get here? Why are we here?
Yep.
We have children we need to be taken care of. We have to pull these awful shots from the market. We yeah. have so much we need to be managing on our own soil.
Well, we'll get to that in just a second, because it's not good. But very quickly,
mm-hmm.
I disagree with it. This is the whole.
You disagree with that?
Yeah. Well, you know, regime change, freedom. Here's what happens. You know, we just in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Like Lemuel Pitkin here saying, 46 years after Islamic theocracy, freedom can be seen. Here's the thing, Lemuel, that's not your business. If Iran wants to get rid of their theocracy, that's up to them.
Mm.
That's up to them. It's not your business. It's not yours. Their freedom is not your concern, right? Just like I know nobody cares about what's the freedom people enjoy in Lesotho or Gambia. Nobody cares, right? So, but this, you care, probably, because you've been told to care. And so we're going to change this. Here's the thing. We've tried regime change 7 times in my lifetime, and it's never worked out. Mm-hmm. It's always been a complete disaster. So the neocon point of view is regime change is a good thing. We're just trying to help people get freedom. And it always ends in disaster. So, you know, if somebody does something and screws up once, you're like, okay, it happens. But twice, you're like, that's kind of a pattern. 3 times, dude, that's their thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that is now.
Believe them.
So this whole idea that, oh, it's up to us to help the people of Iran, you know, shake off the yokes of theocracy. No, it's not. It's just not.
Mm-hmm. Is it?
It's yeah. not your business. That'd be like saying, you know what, Evie, the neighbors next door, I don't think they're raising their kids right. You got to go over there. And if they don't raise their kids right, beat them up.
Mm-hmm.
Attack them until they do it your way.
Right. Right.
Not your biz.
Right.
Just is not your biz. That this should be so simple. And it is for most people. Now, so the Washington Post just reported today that Israel's only going to be able to maintain shooting down these Iranian missiles for 10 or 12 more days. So this is getting desperate. When we talk about the possibility of a false flag attack or something like that, right? So, and they say here, in most cases, a small wave of 3 to 5 Iranian ballistic missiles is enough to prompt the launch of 10 to 15 interceptor missiles, with each one costing $12 million. Not Israel, that THAAD, the THAAD,
mm-hmm.
That's my tax money. If you're a United States citizen, it's yours. $12 million bucks. Well, let's throw up 10 to 15 of those. You know, $120 to $170 million. We'll just shoot that up, right? Wall Street Journal just reporting today as well that Israel is now running low on these interceptors. And by the way, this is what it looks like. Here's what you're going to see. You're going to see a whole bunch of things rising up. Each one of those is one of these very expensive missiles. Yeah. And look, I can get to controls on the other screen. See all these missiles coming up? They're shooting all these things
like
off.
Those fireflies.
$10 to $12 million. There they go, just flying off into space. By the way, they come down again when they miss if they don't have a self-destruct feature. And then watch what happens right from about here. They're blowing up. Oh, no, they just missed it entirely. Here it comes in. And It's going down, and you're going to see the little bright flash. Bonk. Okay. So that's because these missiles, the idea, somebody posted this and said this is one of those Fatah missiles. And the Fatah missile is this thing right here. They cost about $200,000 a pop. They're capable of reaching Mach 14 to 15.
Oh, my gosh.
So I mean, it's very hard. It's a hypersonic weapon. And so very, very hard to hit. But if they cost $200,000 and you're lobbing them against and somebody's shooting $100 million to try and knock it down, this is called a math problem. And sooner or later, this breaks, and it breaks the budgets of those attempting this sort of stuff. It's not an acceptable thing. Now, this is important to notice here. This is just yesterday. Pete Brings, Access, I think.
You're familiar with that, Rachel. And one of the questions was asked is, hey, did you move some of your counter UAS, counter unmanned aerial systems defenses from Ukraine to the Middle East? To which I answered, yes, we did. We're using all assets available to protect our people in that region and around the world.
In case you are wondering, Zelensky, we love you, but not as much as Israel. We pulled all those things out of Israel, and I mean, sorry, out of Ukraine towards Israel. And wouldn't you know it? Now we're seeing the most massive. Russia's been sending large amounts, but now they know they have the offensive on this, and they sent 440 unmanned aerial vehicles and 30 missiles of various types in a single night into Kiev.
Wow.
And did extraordinary amounts of damage in just one night. And they've kept that up ever since because Ukraine is now undefended.
Uh-huh.
Right. And if you want to see something really sad about that, this was at the G7 meeting that just happened when Trump left over here. Look who sat right in his seat. Come on, guys. Can I get some love?
Wow. No.
So this is the other part, which I'm putting this a little bit sarcastically, but this is the lesson to the world. We lured Ukraine like, hey, we got your backs, kids. You know, mm-hmm. You go do all this stuff. Throw a million of your young men into this cannon fodder and fight because it's really important.
Into this
and
meat grinder.
As soon as we lose interest, we just leave you. We'll abandon you. Europe's got to learn this lesson. We've promised them all this LNG that's going to happen to help them because we blew up the Nord Stream pipelines. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They're not going to get it. As soon as we need it more, we'll just abandon them.
Yeah.
This is the thing that Trump just showed. We will betray and abandon you whenever it's in our interest. That makes us not agreement capable.
Mm-hmm. Right. How can you negotiate with somebody like that? You can't.
You can't. You just can't. So
they're not going to keep their word.
In our time, we're going to have to go over a little bit here, but Trump is not getting to his mandate as we discussed, Evie. So I just wanted to tighten that up a little bit.
Yeah.
So here's Wall Street Apes.
They're saying it has been 225 days since Republican voters handed the GOP control of both the House and Senate. 225 days with full control, and the GOP still hasn't passed a nationwide voter ID mandate, arguably the most important issue for their voters. It's beyond comprehension.
Yeah, because you know what? If you just had if you had voter ID, if you just had voting systems you could count on, like this is really important. Everybody agreed. Like we'd stolen elections have consequences.
Mm-hmm, they do.
Right?
Right.
We just proved that.
And it's usually not the good guy wins.
Nope.
Either.
Stolen elections have really bad consequences. So let's make sure that we're having fair votes. But for some reason, both Democrats and Republicans are in agreement. They like our voting systems to be completely insecure. Trump was going to come in and change this. Nothing has happened. Nothing.
Why have people changed so much since they got into office? Why has that happened to so many people?
Epstein files is the only thing I can think. It has to be something like that. There has to be some program you're read into that you say, oh, what I wanted to do, I'm not allowed to do that.
Right. It trumps everything.
Yep. You're being threatened at some existential level.
Right.
Or your children or your family or whatever.
Yeah.
Or you're being promised something that's just too fantastical to resist.
Hmm.
Or there is an Area 51 and they introduce you to the Men in Black break room and there's the guys, all the aliens getting coffee and you go, oh, this isn't even remotely what I thought it was. totally different situation.
Yeah, right.
We're going to need, we can't afford voter ID right now.
Yeah, right.
It has to be something, right?
I hope it's a good reason. Because I'm really sad about this, actually. This is frustrating and depressing.
Well, I mean, this raises a larger question, this idea of if there's supposed to be, it's not technically written into the Constitution or any of the bills, but the idea was no taxation without representation,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, you could reasonably argue that we don't have representation because you can't prove that we had valid elections. You can't prove that.
Right. It's true. So if enough of us got together and said, that's it, we're not filing our taxes. We're not paying them.
Tax revolt is a revolt. There's a revolution that could come, right? So that would be one. People could go on buyer strikes. They could go on worker strikes in the sense, don't just strike and stand out with a placard. Just go to work and get F all done all day long or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Which isn't fair to your employer. But the contract is broken. The contract is elect people. They go and they represent us. Mm-hmm. We have some say in the matter. We might not always like how it turns out, but it balances out over time. When you have illegitimate voting systems, it's just illegitimate, top to bottom. It's fraudulent.
Yeah.
That's all.
None of that's happening.
Anyway, so how about this then?
February 2025, Trump repeatedly vowed to audit Fort Knox. He made statements on Air Force One and during speeches. Elon Musk called for a live stream. By March, both men were silent. The narrative was shut down at the highest level with no follow-up at all. I added that last part.
Well, that's true. And here's why I think this happened. The reason, Ian Yeager says here, the reason Fort Knox has been audited, is because gold isn't there. If it was, they would have audited it by now.
Right. And they would have been sure to show us proudly.
If Iran was having no success striking targets, we'd see pictures of that to that effect. But you don't. So that's just my rule in life is that, If they won't tell you, you're free to assume that the reason they're not telling you is the worst reason you can imagine. That's just rule of life. It's a good starting point. Thomas Massey again for the win here.
All right.
I think. Let's see. Oh, I have to go over to this screen.
Joining me now, Congressman Thomas Massey from the great Commonwealth of Kentucky. Congressman, good to have you with us. And let's just cut right to it. I want you to explain why you are a no vote on the big, beautiful bill.
Well, it spends way too much money. Look, I'm for the tax cuts, extending those tax cuts. I voted for those in 2017. Here's the problem. We're cutting more taxes and we're increasing spending. And to the extent they say we're cutting spending, that doesn't happen in these first few years. They're saying we'll do that in the later years. The problem is the later years never come.
That's the bill. Like, oh, we'll cut spending, just not now. It's never now. Later. Is never a good time.
I'm not
going to
quit drinking
D.C.
tonight because I really have this awesome party. I will quit drinking next week.
It's always manana. Always.
Work.
So yeah, they'll cut spending, just not this year. Some poor future jamokes will have to like rescind all those spending cuts later. That's for later. But we don't have later in this story, folks. You have to understand, we are hurtling towards economic, financial, and historical disaster at this stage. We just are. It's an objective truth, right? Nobody is doing anything except putting more, as Thomas Massey said in an earlier piece we ran a couple of weeks back, we're on the Titanic shoveling coal into the boiler and aiming straight at the iceberg, right? I mean, it's just that there's...
What could go wrong?
Everything. So prepare accordingly. That's what we do at Peak Prosperity. And by the way, Evie, I'm going to have to do this because we have to hear now, I think, from one of our favoritest sponsors. We're going to be right back with more of the Trump issue right after we hear from... Hi, I'm Chris Martinson, and I am thrilled to invite you to Peak Prosperity's exclusive in-person summit happening this September 12th, 13th, and 14th at Lake Winnipesaukee, New Hampshire. At this once-a-year in-person gathering, we take over the entire facility, which offers incredible privacy. And we offer incredible lectures, interactive content, and plenty of opportunity to settle in and allow free-thinking folks like you to come together and to connect, share ideas, and build real community. It's become something of a healthy family gathering, the one you always wanted to have. At Peak Prosperity, we speak the truth when the rest of the world seems committed to ignorance, if not outright lies. So this isn't just another event. It is a unique chance to join and get to know a select group of like-minded people who value clarity and courage, knowing what the future holds, and most importantly, how to make their families more resilient and prepared along every dimension. Spots are limited and we sell out every year. So if you're ready to dive deep, make meaningful connections, join the family, then come grab your tickets now at peakprosperity.com. Select a ticket plus any extras that you may need, such as a second ticket for a guest or upgraded lodging, by filling out the simple form. It's that easy. The Peak Prosperity Annual Summit. Don't miss this once-a-year gathering. Evie and I would love to meet you.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Signal Hour. We do hope you come to our event, Peak Prosperity Summit, this year up in beautiful New Hampshire. And please go to our website, peakprosperity.com, to register. What's next, Chris?
Well, about that summit, this is one of the most important years we're ever going to have, right? It's really important that people get together and that we talk about what's going on. I mean, yes, we're going to talk about how to become resilient, how to become prepared. Financial preparation and health are two big themes this year. We've got extraordinary presenters this year, but it's more important than ever is going to be talking about what we really have to talk about, because this is going down. It's happening, and we either accept that or not. We either prepare for it or we don't.
Right.
And depending on how you do or do not prepare is going to really shape your future
and your children's future
and all of that. I'm really looking forward to it this year.
Yeah,
and by the way,
one
of the things we do on Saturday night, because it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Saturday night, we leave all the electronics out of the big room.
Mm-hmm.
No smartwatches, no phones, no tablets, mm-hmm. all gone. And we have real conversations in an unmonitored fashion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's very important. And a lot of other stuff.
It is.
So Evie, they're backtracking on the shots now.
Disappointed
to hear this.
Okay. Subverting the efforts of President Trump and Defense Secretary Hegseth to restore the military, at least one senior official appears to have made a promise he had no intention to keep. Without intervention, Chief Warrant Officer 3 Brandon Budge will be separated from the Army on September 1st for his objection to the safety and efficacy of the COVID-19 shot in 2021, which was determined by Defense Secretary Hegseth to be unlawful as implemented.
So the COVID shot was unlawful as implemented. Chief Warrant Officer Brandon Budge said, I have no interest in that.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to, he'll be separated from the Army. That's it. He's like we're going to lose a
dismissed.
Chief Warrant Officer from a Black Hawk. He's a Black Hawk, crew guy. And we're going to lose highly trained people because they didn't obey the illegal shot mandates. Okay.
Wow.
And you got to go because you're not a team player or something like that. So that's a backtrack. That's bad.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, Evie, this one bothers me even more.
Yeah. Yesterday I met with Starbucks CEO Brian Nicol, who shared the company's plans to further MAHA its menu. I was pleased to learn that Starbucks food and beverages already avoid artificial dyes, artificial flavors, high fructose corn syrup, artificial sweeteners, and other, I guess it's probably saying ingredients. So
Yeah. But really, so we're going to get rid of this stuff, but we have a much bigger problem,
uh-huh.
which is those mRNA vaccines are just killing people.
Japan's
coming out with crazy data about this.
I know.
We have all the data we need. I know Bobby knows this. I know he knows
this.
I
know he does,
right?
Too.
And I know Marty McCary knows this, and I'm not sure about Vinay Prasad. He may or may not.
And Jay Bhattacharya.
I know Jay knows
people.
About it. Like, they all know about this.
Yeah.
And still it's there, speaking of the, but you know, and here we are about to go into another big war for all the same stupid reasons as before, right? Which is, it's an existential threat. It's an emergency. Don't ask any questions. Will regime change? We'll be greeted as liberators. They'll love us. Like, no. We've been down this path before. It doesn't work out.
We can't
afford it now. We can't afford this malarkey.
No, we can't afford it now, especially not as energy is about to get way pricier and way more scarce going into our children's lifetime, right?
Well,
the next generations are really going to have it rough.
Remember, I've been talking about peak oil forever and ever.
I know.
And just in January, the EIA, Energy Information mm-hmm. Agency in the U.S., came out and said, shale oil peaks in 2027. Just yesterday's June, what's called STEO, the Short-Term Energy Outlook Report.
Yeah. What did they say?
They said, actually, we have less of it coming out of the ground in 2026.
So that we're going down over the top
we're
of the
there.
Hill, like
we're
now,
there, right now,
basically.
Yes.
And we have no plan.
No plan. Zero. None.
Okay, great. Nope, and all we're going to do is spend whatever money and resources we have building objects of destruction to send over to somebody else's war. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to opt out of this.
Yep.
Is there like a box I can check somewhere?
Me too. And by the way, though, I have to point this out again. Even Der Welt pointing out here that, you know, now guess what? Russian troops have broke through the fourth line of defense, as they called it, which in some places was only barbed wire. Oops, call that a fourth line if you want. And Ukrainian brigades are in critical condition and they're out of ammo. Guess what? This old tired war has already been lost. And so that's why it's time for a new exciting one. And when the Iran malarkey settles down, there'll be another one. It'll be Somalia, Evie. It won't matter. This is the pattern. We should be able to recognize it by now. As soon as the old war is dying down, doesn't look like a big grift machine to make millions and billions off of anymore.
Right.
A new one fires up like magic, right?
You're right.
Magic. So that's the pattern.
It's the grift. It's so gross.
And
I
by
can't
the way,
believe they would do that.
We're still here. Still no arrests for anything important that's happened in this country. Massive crimes were committed, right? Unbelievable massive crimes. Yeah. Nobody's getting arrested for any of that stuff.
I know. We've violated things. We've made agreements that we were never going to do.
Yep. And by the way, can I just keep on this? No, Epstein did not kill himself. Okay. I mean, this just couldn't be any more obvious. Remember the hostage video with Dan and Cash? Just like, oh no, everybody has an opinion. I've seen the files. Right? I know.
Did you see them blinking a few times? Do they need our help? Like, it was
by the
way,
my PhD is in pathology and toxicology. That means I performed autopsies. I know a little bit about what I'm talking about, but this is just dead easy, right? The ligature marks on Epstein's throat were in around 90 degrees front to back. And when you hang yourself, you slump like this and it pulls up, right? So you could see on the red lines, there's just like, you can't, like the one thing you'll never see them do, Cash and Dan, oh no, we saw the files, is show you with a recreation with a dummy or a live person that rescued in time, show you how you get that ligature mark that was found on Epstein's neck by tying a crazy little bed sheet that's designed to tear around a bunk and settling into it. And he, by the way, he was described as being found with his buttocks about an inch and a half off the ground and his feet out straight. So it was a straight vertical hanging with feet out with ass off the floor. You cannot create that ligature mark with that. Full stop. Simple. It's like building 7. Nope. Free fall for 2.25 seconds. I'm very, very sorry. That's not a progressive collapse. That's free fall. Totally different concept. So that's quite easy. And
We're entertaining ourselves with all these lies, basically.
Yep. and I could carry on, but it turns out, Evie, there's just a huge number of things that Trump came in January, very promising. Now there's by the wayside, and this whole thing that's about to undergo with Iran. Michael Yon, my good Argon friend.
Yeah, yeah.
He said wars do two things.
Mm-hmm.
They grow, and they grow unpredictably. So we're at the unpredictable stage, and this could lead to, who knows what, China deciding to get involved, the Strait of Hormuz being closed down to oil traffic.
Right.
A wider rebellion and insurrection that suddenly rises up because the Arab world has finally had enough and you know, all that, whatever, something's going to happen.
Right.
Easy prediction to make. Or Israel decides it's just not getting its way fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bright flash in the desert, right? Hopefully a warning shot way out in the desert. But, you know, you can see they're laying the groundwork to pave the way to breach the barrier to allow nukes to be used again in combat.
I know.
Because somebody wants that for some reason, right? I think it's a very bad idea.
It's
right?
Probably the same people that want population reduction and
could be,
you know, want to keep the energy for themselves and their private jets.
Yeah.
Right.
No, that tracks.
It seems like they're at every turn. It's like it feels like everything's trying to kill us. And I think it's because it is actually right.
Right. And let's not forget there may be. Make a number up. Thousands. Of what we might call sleeper cells in the United States, ready to do things. So the chance of all of this not going pear-shaped is close to zero. It's closing in on zero. It's already kind of pear-shaped, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think, for what it's worth, Israel bit off more than it could chew, and it wasn't prepared for the muscular and highly accurate response of Iran to lob missiles in. But I don't know why, because October 24... they got their warning shot. Remember, they did some stuff and then Iran said, oh, we have to respond. So they did some stuff. But in that stuff that Iran shot back, they put in a bunch of drones and Israel's all like, oh, look, with the United States and Jordan's help, we shot down 89 or 95, whatever, we shot down all these things, and there were these little drones coming in. Remember that? But you know what Iran also did? They lobbed in 4 or 5 of those missiles, and we all got to see that they were highly effective. Israel knew they were effective. Anything that's happening in Israel right now is because the leadership of Israel already knew what it was biting off. They can't act surprised now and say, oh, we had no idea they had that many, right?
I don't trust Bibi.
No.
I think he needs
Bibi's
to get out of there.
To stay out of prison, right? He's an absolutely corrupt war criminal. He's an awful human being. Awful human being. And that's easy to say, right? They happen.
I mean, yeah. So, yeah. It's frustrating. Well, anyway.
Evie, we are at the end of our time here today.
Well,
bring it home and make us feel settled, would you?
All right. I'm trying. So part of what I like to do at the end of these is talk about or read something that brings me back to Earth. So this is my back to Earth moment. And by the way, we all have important reasons that we're here on this planet. And in spite of or, regardless of what's going on in the rest of the planet, we know our souls know what those jobs are. Mm-hmm. We know what we're here to accomplish, and we know what's really important. And I urge you to do what you can to make those things that are important to you a priority and to protect those things with your life and as if your life depended on it, because I actually think that that's where we're headed, where we won't be living in this lavish, easy world the way we've known it. Easy in the sense that we don't have to work our butts off for very basic resources. And I think that's going to change. So plant a garden. It'll put your mind at ease as well. This is by Wendell Berry, and it's called The Peace of Wild Things. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting for their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free.
Thank you for that. And Charge Mopar giving a nice ending to that.
Plant a garden, even if you are a carnivore. Amen. Do plant a garden. Go out there. Get your hands dirty. There are health benefits to just getting your bare feet in the soil. If you do nothing else, rebalances your whole electrical system that is your human body, and get some friends together. It's fun to chat and sit there and pull weeds together. Go help somebody that has a garden if you don't have one, and come to Peak Prosperity if you want to hang out with like-minded people like that.
Yes, please come to peakprosperity.com, and that's where our whole tribe is. We've been there for a couple decades, so it's a really wonderful community of people. Thoughtful, intelligent. We're going to discuss anything, everything. Nothing is off the table. Free speech is the most important thing today. One of the most important things you can do is to be aware and educated, alert, with appropriate context, so that when the next thing happens, you're less surprised and you can make good decisions, better decisions, and more resilient decisions for you and your family. That's why we do what we do. Great change is upon us. Thank you, everybody. We will see you next time on the Signal Hour. For everybody who is at Peak Prosperity or is a member, come on back. We got a lot we got to talk about today. So we'll carry on the conversation there, because things are breaking very quickly. Everybody else, thank you so much for being here with us today.